live on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. A new day brings new topics. Our sports talk brings extensive debate and analysis by the host, expert contributors, and callers. We discuss it all. Join us weekdays at 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Hey, welcome to Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Thank you to Duck and Tim for our first half hour, where we were just talking about different things that are going on in the world of sports. I am Princess Cooper with my co-host, Duck Raleigh. How are you, sir? Duck, are you on mute?
Hey, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Welcome to the show, Tim Moore. How are you?
I'm doing well, Princess. I thought maybe that that handyman that was sneaking into Duck's house a couple of weeks ago is back. You know,
he better. Hey, Tim, he better stay out of here.
Yeah, we're going to have to go save him for sure. Let me welcome in Will Harris. How are you, sir?
Good evening. How's everyone doing tonight?
Doing good.
Doing well, Will.
Doing good. All right. Tony Coleman, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing very well tonight, Princess, and the rest of the hosts there. I've never had a food day.
All right.
I'm going to have to record that. It's pretty good. All right, Duck and Tim. And Duck, give me about 15, 20 minutes. Let me bow out. You guys run it without me. I'll be back, okay?
Okay, we should have some other guys trying to pop in. Tim,
I
sent it to Damon to Johnson.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, Will, let's get started, Will. Let's talk about the games in each region. What did you see?
Overall, I mean, I think it was one of the years where, I mean, a lot of the higher seeds prevailed mostly. I mean, not as many upsets as I thought. I think all of the, you know, the number one seeds, you know, are alive and made it to the Sweet 16. I think there were a lot of lopsided wins. There were a couple great games on, though. So I'll start with the East. I mean, as expected, I think UConn pretty much breezed to the Sweet 16. San Diego State made it as well. I mean, I thought Yale upset Auburn. I thought that was one of the few upsets that happened in the first round. That one caught me a little bit by surprise. You had Duquesne over BYU. I thought that was a pretty even matchup in the first round, so I wasn't surprised by that one. But, yeah, I mean, you got Iowa State coming out of that one, pretty much breezed through their first two games as well. Then you get to the West. North Carolina, again, they've had it pretty easy up to this point. Michigan State was competitive with them for a little bit, but they started to pull away at the end on that game. And then you got Alabama. I thought they played a good game against Grand Canyon. That was a good upset as well in the first round over St. Mary's. But I think Alabama was just too much athleticism for them in that second round game. And then at the bottom of the West bracket, Arizona, pretty much, I think that was my Final Four pick coming out of that region. They had it pretty easy going into the Sweet 16 as well, but they got a pretty tough competitive matchup against Clemson. Moving on to the Midwest, Purdue, after, you know, choking last year, I thought they played very strong in their first two games. I think that matchup with Gonzaga will be pretty good, which we can talk about later. And then Tennessee and Creighton, I think, will be another good one coming out of that region. And then on to the South, Oakland, Kentucky, I thought was the biggest upset of the tournament. The guard for Oakland, I think, had 10 three-pointers in the first game. So that was a good upset victory over Kentucky within NC State. Their hot streak continues, win the ACC, make it to the Sweet 16. So they got a tough matchup against Marquette. On the other top of the bracket, I just thought it was pretty lopsided. Duke had it pretty easy against Vermont and Madison. And then Houston pretty much, you know, handled Texas A&M pretty thoroughly. So I think that'll be probably one of the better matchups, too, and that Sweet 16 will be Houston versus Duke.
Okay, and we'll get to that. But, you know, I just wanted to see what you thought about each other regions. Tim, what is your thoughts?
It's good basketball. I thought, a couple of things happened that kind of kept the excitement going with, you know, the Oakland upset of Kentucky. I thought Dayton looked really good against their Arizona late in the ball game. Clemson really surprised me the way they handled Baylor. They actually looked like the better team, which really, really surprised me. And North Carolina was really strong against a Michigan State team that had played well most of the game. Gonzaga just took Kansas apart. And I was sort of feeling as though that might have been a bit of karma because of what happened in Kansas's first game. We were just talking about this before we went on the air. That Stanford call at the end of the game when the game was tied, Kansas was going down for the dunk. They had a block on the dunk, and they called a foul that was not a foul. And all of it was so egregious that the announcers, after looking at replay, you know, was shouting that was not a foul. I just think those kinds of things are really so hurtful, particularly to kids who work so hard to get to that level and may not ever play basketball again after that ball game. Purdue looks strong. NC State is still on a run, and that's incredible. They looked really good. They're not just fluky wins. They look really good. And then, of course, UConn is just dominating in their region.
Okay. What you got for us, Tony?
There's been some really good basketball days, man. I'm going to start over in the South region, man, because there are a couple games over there, also in the Midwest, man, that just sticks out to me that happened over this past weekend. The first one is Houston, man, and Texas A&M. That game was a phenomenal game. You know, overtime win. Texas A&M, they are tough, man. They gave Houston everything that they could imagine to see in a tournament. And for Houston to rise above and persevere and winning this game, this said a lot for me because, you know, to be that team and the resiliency and the way that they were able to bounce back. They lost a lead. Texas A&M rallies back 12 down, forces overtime. They go into overtime. You know, Houston, they had lost three or four of their integral players to fouling out. And they still had guys that were stepping up, you know, that was coming in to replace, and they were able to pull the win out, man. They did what they needed to do in order to secure that victory. I thought it was paramount. It was just an outstanding game. And then the other game that really sticks out to me is Oregon and the Creighton game. They go into double overtime. I mean, these guys were battling. Big shot after big shot. The guy Cousinard for Oregon, I mean, he was just shooting the lights out. This guy has so much heart. Man, you know, I just hate to see a team like that have to lose, man. These guys were just giving everything they had. But then Creighton, they were, you know, responding, coming back, you know, Shireman and Asher. I mean, these guys were outstanding shooters, you know, hitting shots when they had to make big shots. And that just speaks volumes to me when you can knock down these shots during a prime time big moments, man. And these guys, they kept doing it. They kept forcing the overtimes and coming back and not, you know, panicking, just continuing to stay with their strategy and just make plays. It was just outstanding basketball, man. I was sitting on the edge of my seat, jumping up and down, man. And we go over to the East. The Duquesne-Illinois game was a phenomenal game. So I had picked Duquesne as one of my busters, and they really showed some really good promise. Illinois is playing outstanding. We go back and talk about Yale when they upset Auburn. They really stepped up to the notch, and, you know, unfortunately for Auburn down the stretch because they were doing so well. You just knew that they, maybe they had caught some momentum and they were going to be able to just team one of those teams, you know what I mean, making that run down the stretch. But they also fell to Yale. And I got to agree with Tim with Clemson over Baylor. Clemson really shocked me, man. I didn't expect them to be as good as they are. I watched them, and they really have a good team, man. Clemson really has a really good team. So it's going to be interesting to see. I don't really need to say anything about, you know, UConn and Iowa State and those teams. We already know what they got and what they're going to do. North Carolina, of course, I don't really think they have really met a really good match yet. Michigan State was playing well, but you know, the game was in Charlotte. I thought Dave may have been at that game, you know, since it was in Charlotte. And, it was like a home game for them, so they were able to take advantage of Michigan State, you know, being down there in Charlotte. I thought that the crowd was just so behind them, and it made a big difference. And then down, you know, in the West, you know, Arizona, you know, they're one of my favorites that I picked, and they're living up to that, man. So this has been all around really exciting, and I can't wait. I can't even wait for the Sweet 16. I'm not even going to get ahead of us or get ahead of you, Dave, with that. But, yeah, that's my summation, man, on those games over the weekend.
And speaking of that, Tony and Tim and Will, I'm liking more and more like Creighton's guys playing well and Creighton's women were playing well. North Carolina State men, North Carolina State's women, Gonzaga, they kind of shocked me last night. I don't know how many of you were able to watch the women play last night. I would have never thought they would beat Utah like that by 20 points. But, you know, hey, I'm just saying that now that the women on the other side is just as competitive as the men at the same school. So, but want to move on to you, Tony. Well, stay with you, Tony, because I want to let's talk about matchups that you're looking forward to in each of the regions.
Okay. Man, I tell you, I'm looking forward to all of them, man. To be honest with you, man. You got going up against San Diego State, Illinois, Iowa State. I mean, over in the East, and then, you know, the South region, you got Houston and Duke. Man, I mean, NC State, Marquette, you know, Shaka. Who called him Shaka Zulu? But, Shaka, you know, he finally got his guys going, man. And NC State has been playing extremely well. Whoever saw a team that goes into the conference, the ACC conference tournament, with only 15 wins – and win the whole thing, and they are in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
That's just a phenomenal story in itself for the NC State program. Coach should be looking forward to a nice raise coming up pretty soon. You know, even if they don't go any further, you know, to accomplish what they have accomplished is absolutely amazing. That, you know, kudos, and my hat goes off to that coaching staff and that leadership of molding and getting those guys to really buy in and believe and, I mean, just get the job done. And they've been able to match up, stick to their thing, man. It's unprecedented. So, yeah, Dave, I just got to say, man, it's, you know, all of these, you know, Creighton is going to play Tennessee. I mean, it don't even matter what game. It's like all of these games have got to be off-the-chain games. I think this may be the climax of this whole entire March Madness is the Sweet 16. Not the Elite Eight, not the Final Four, but the Sweet 16 right now because I'm looking at the matchups. Now, it's truly, truly going to determine what you're made of because every team that's playing going up against each other, now you're playing against a legitimate opponent that has the ability to beat you. So if you don't come with your A game and if you don't carry out and execute your strategy, then you're going to go home. And that's what's going to happen in this Sweet 16 with the matchups that that has come together. I'm looking forward to the Zags actually taking Purdue out. So let's see if that happens. They can do it. You shut down, and this will be the last thing I'll say, you shut down Purdue's guards, and you win the game. Let Edney try to beat
you. Okay.
You know?
Will, your thoughts on it? Who are you looking forward to seeing in each region?
Thing that stands out most to me is Houston versus Duke. I think the winner of that game will probably come out of that region. I think I picked Houston to make it, so that'll be an interesting one. NC State, I think, I mean, they're on a hot streak, won the ACC, got to the Sweet 16, so they're an 11th seed in the Sweet 16. That'll be exciting to see if they can continue that streak going. And by the way, you got four ACC teams in the Sweet 16, so you know, I think we talked about this conference earlier. They've held up pretty strong so well. We'll see what Purdue's made of. They had it easy so far, but then they got a tough one against Gonzaga. I think Creighton and Tennessee will be a great game. North Carolina, Alabama, I think, will be a good one in the Western region. And UConn, I think I picked UConn to go all the way. They got a tough matchup against a good San Diego State team that's been playing well. So a lot of good matchups in the Sweet 16. Hopefully we get some more, a lot more competitive games.
Okay. Tim.
Yeah, Duck. I failed to mention the run the last two games that the Tennessee Vols have been on. They have looked very impressive to me. They just dominated St. Peter's and then held on to beat a very good Texas team in the second round. That matchup with Creighton is one I'm looking forward to. I think Purdue-Gonzaga should be a really good one. I was surprised the way Gonzaga handled Kansas. That was pretty impressive. Houston-Duke, although I think Houston, if they're on their game, should handle Duke. They're relentless defensively, and I'm not sure Duke has seen anything like that in the ACC this year. And then Clemson-Arizona, I think, is going to be sort of surprisingly interesting. Arizona has been one of the better teams in the country all year. But as Tony was saying, this Clemson team is impressive, at least what I saw last game against Baylor. They look really good.
Okay, Tim, let's stay right with you. And we're talking about each region. Let's talk about who did you pick as a sleeper slash bracket buster, and who's your new one?
Well, I had Dayton, and they bowed out against Arizona, although they came back in that game. And I also had, who else did I have as a bracket buster? I'm trying to think who else I had. Seen very many bracket busters do much of anything in this tournament. I think we've started to get down to the point now here with the Sweet 16 that the blue bloods are there. I had Oregon going quite a ways, and they got knocked off by Creighton. So I think going forward, I like the Tennessee Vols. Beyond them, probably perhaps Clemson, but I think the favorites in all of the other matchups should win.
Okay. Tony.
I had in the East, I had initially Duquesne as a buster. And, I mean, they were doing that. And, you know, they also had Illinois as another, you know, sleeper in the East. And I think that they're actually still really, you know, they're right there, man, and looking really good. In the West, you know, my sleeper was Arizona. And they are living up to it. So I guess I did a pretty good job of picking in the East and the West. And then for the South, I initially said that Kentucky would be my sleeper. Yeah, they slept all right. They went right to sleep, you know, the whole game going Oakland. And I just, you know, I just can't believe, you know, so that was just a nightmare. And that's a whole nother show, you know, just talking about that whole program. But in James Madison, you know, they started out, I picked them as a buster, and they did well. They actually really did well. And, you know, they finally fell prey, you know, to who was that beat them? Was that Duke that beat them?
Yeah.
I believe it was Duke, yeah. So all the way up until that point, they were really being that buster. No one expected, you know, James Madison to do what they did in the tournament. So I don't know where to look to now in the South region for a sleeper, because everyone seems to be just a stud team, you know, right now in the South that's left. It's open. In the Midwest, I went with as a sleeper was Creighton, and they are living up to exactly you know, what I thought, and they're right there in the Sweet 16. So this is really going to be a strong indicator as to how really good they are, because Creighton has been battle tested, you know, double overtimes and coming back from behind to win games. Tennessee, although they're a very good team, I don't think they've really been battle-tested yet in this tournament, you know. For real, when you start looking at the other teams and how they had to win some tough games. Now, I'll just leave it there. This will be a true test for them. So we'll see
okay.
What happens between Creighton. Yep.
Okay. Will, what about you? Sleeper, bracket buster, regions, what's going on?
Yeah, I think one bracket buster I had was James Madison. They got off to a good start, but then got blown out in the second round. I think I picked UAB as another one. And then they got eliminated in the first round. And then NC State, they're still alive. I mean, I thought coming, winning the ACC, playing good ball heading into the tournament, that they continue to stay hot and make a run. So far they're staying alive. So I'll stick with NC State as the bracket buster.
Okay. All right. Let's stay with that. And now you're looking at the Sweet 16. Who do we need to keep an eye on?
I'll stick with NC State as one thing. I think the one seeds are still strong this year, especially Houston and UConn, which was who I think is going to be in the national championship ultimately. Tennessee, I thought, is a team I think is hot, playing good basketball right now. And I'll also say Arizona, another team I think to keep an eye on.
All right, Tony. Same question. Who do we need to keep an eye on in the Sweet 16?
I think we need to keep an eye on Illinois. They'll go up against Iowa State, but you need to keep an eye on them. Iowa State has been like a number two seed, but Illinois, man, they were the three seed. So, I mean, they're just playing phenomenal basketball, and not too many people are really talking about them. That's why I keep an eye on them, man, because that's that team just can sneak up on you if no one's really focusing on them. People are paying attention to NC State. People are paying attention to, you know, Arizona, UNC, and so on and so forth, the Creightons. But nobody's really paying attention to Illinois. You got to watch out for those guys. You know, Tennessee has been really quiet, to be honest with you. I mean, for real, for real. But those are things I think we need to buy.
Okay. What about you, Tim? Who we need to buy on?
You know, when I looked at that question, I thought about teams that we're not expecting to to play well. I think Houston, everybody, you know, has kind of looked at them all season as being one of the best teams in the country. UConn has always been looked at as one of the best teams in the country. North Carolina is a blue blood program, and Purdue has the big man that everybody is sort of swinging on and has been all year in Edie. But I think these Tennessee Vols are very good. I think they're surprisingly good and can beat anybody on a good day. So I would keep my eye on the Tennessee Vols. And North Carolina State just keeps rolling along. I think if they play and continue to play the way they've been playing, they could surprise folks and jump into that Final Four. It would be an upset if they got past Houston. But they've been playing some very good basketball. So I would say Tennessee and North Carolina State.
Okay. I want to stay with you, Tim, because I want to talk about the ratings, you know, the men versus the women's as far as the ratings, you know, where we got CBS for the men, ABC for the women, which I don't know when the last time they had the women on ABC on Saturday and Sunday. And the ticket prices, your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think the women's game has really captured the imagination of a lot of people. I was at a men's retreat this past weekend with 40 guys from four different states, a Christian, not really a campground, it was a fishing lodge, actually. And we were sitting around watching some of the games, obviously. And it was interesting to me, a bunch of dudes who were sports fans, they kept asking about the women's game. They wanted to, you know, keep track of what was going on with LSU and what was going on with Notre Dame, of course. I don't ever remember a time when guys were talking about the women's game the way they are. So I think the ratings are surprisingly good for the women's game. It, like you said, it's a shame that they have gotten relegated to ESPN, which I think maybe has happened before. Inherently, ESPN just does not get the kind of ratings that network television does, and so the ABCs will give you bigger ratings than an ESPN on just because it's structurally there are more people that watch, and CBS of course is in that same category, but. But I think the women's game has really captured the imagination of people and has eyeballs on the TV set in ways that I've never seen before.
Okay. I want to add another part to that. And I hit Tony with this by mistake, but he said, "Oh, we talking women?" So evidently Tony's keeping up with it. So Caitlin Clark, he graduates, goes to the WNBA. Does that kill the ratings for the women's?
Oh, it's gonna have an impact. It's gonna have an impact. I don't know if it kills the ratings, because I think Dawn Staley and that South Carolina team is, you know, has become for a certain segment of our population, a team that you love to hate, and a lot of people will tune in to try to see them get beat. Although I think she does a phenomenal job. And I hate to use the word phenomenal because it's overused, but I think she does a tremendous job with that program. South Carolina was not on the map before Dawn Staley got there. And so I don't think it falls off the map, but it certainly will not be at the level that it is right now with Caitlin Clark when she goes to the WNBA.
Okay. Will, same questions. Let's talk ratings. Let's talk about ticket prices and – The Caitlin Clark effect.
I think I read that the ratings for both the men's and women's tournament were pretty solid this year. Ticket prices were pretty high, but I mean overall good ratings. I think the women's game just over the last couple of years has had better storylines, and I think storylines is what drives ratings and crowds. And I think with the women's tournament, you got Caitlin Clark, who's on a historic run, a very popular player. And then you have, you know, LSU with Angel Reese. I think they put them two in the same region for that purpose to try to make sure that matchup happens. So I think if both teams win, they'll have a rematch with LSU and Iowa. And then you can't forget about the undefeated South Carolina team. That's the annual powerhouse. So I think just the women's games just benefited because of a lot of better storylines and a lot of players that people have been following since over the last couple of years. And I think it'll continue to generate a lot of interest. Now, as far as when Caitlin Clark leaves, I think it'll definitely take a hit, but I think, you know, the rivalries and all of these other things help the game. So there's a lot of new up-and-coming players that may be able to take the torch.
Okay. Tony, same question.
You know, I got to agree with a lot of everything that's been already said, you know, regarding the ratings and, you know, the Caitlin Clark situation. Now, just looking at, you know, the different, you know, ratings for both men and women, the viewership, of course, increased on both sides. For this year, you know, with the men, you know, between CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV, you had an average viewership of like 9 million people. And then like people that were at the games live in person was like almost a quarter of a million people, like 230,000, 240,000 people attending the men's games so far. On the women's side, you know, the viewership is 4.7 billion. 4.7 billion of viewership minutes of people watching the women's game. And then the ticket prices has been probably the cheapest ticket you can get, depending on who's playing. It's like $300. Or maybe it is one of those real small markets, maybe like $80 to $100. But when you're talking about, you know, going to see like Katie or, you know, or Angel or somebody like that, you're paying $350 and up, you know, for a ticket, you know, to go to the game. So, you know, the viewership is just up big time on the media platforms, TV, you know, streaming and doing all that kind of stuff, and it's been phenomenal. Will the game actually, will the women's game drop off a little bit after those guys leave and go to the WNBA? It may. It may have a little drop. I kind of, if there is any analogy that I can give you the way that I have been looking at this, I think about Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. When Indiana State and Michigan State, you know, battled. And then the NBA was really in desperate need, man, for somebody to give them a shot in the arm. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird gave the NBA a shot in the arm and took the NBA to another level with, you know, the smart moves, strategies that David Stern was able to do. I see the WNBA trying to use Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, among
but
others.
But Angel Reese might not be coming out.
I think this is her last year, isn't it? Is she a senior?
I don't know, because she came from Maryland. So that's something
right.
That, you know, we probably need to ask Princess. But for some reason, I was told that she might have another year if she decides to take it. And plus,
yeah,
she might not want to go to the WNBA right away and take that pay cut.
Right. You're exactly right. Because you take a phenomenal NIL money. You're right. I don't know. For some reason, I was thinking that this may have been her last year, too, as well. But I think you're right. I think she may have another year.
But that's a great comparison of Bird and Magic. I hadn't really thought of it like that. But, yeah, that's pretty good. And they did. They, honestly, and I don't know how Tim and Will feel about it, but I thought they really did kind of save the NBA.
Oh, they did.
Did.
They certainly did. I think numbers-wise, I think the TV ratings, if you all remember, the NBA prior to Dr. J was on tape delay, the NBA championship. They were showing those games at 11:30 at night. They weren't even live. Then Dr. J comes onto the scene when they merge with the ABA, and he pumps some life into the fan base. But Bird and Magic just really were captivating, and the NBA was on a trajectory that it's benefiting from now. as a result of that. And part of it, you know, to be completely honest, part of it was the black-white dynamics between Bird and Magic. But they both had, well, I can't say Bird did, but Magic had such an engaging personality, and Bird mm-hmm. was such a really good basketball player that it worked out well. I don't think it's quite that simple with Caitlin Clark, though. I think she does have an unusually gifted offensive game. You know, they've had other white players in the WNBA, Ionescu, the young lady who came out of UConn a few years ago, who's down in, I think she's in Phoenix now, that have been really top-notch ball players. But there's something special about the appeal of Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things, Tim, that's really appealing with her is their shooting from the logo. You know what I mean? And then you bring Steph Curry into the conversation, you know, and she's hitting these
right.
big shots, you know, at big moments, you know what I mean? And, you know, they're winning. So, you know, it's like a whole nother dynamic that they're feeding off of. But, you know, when I closely examine her game, and they almost lost to West Virginia. I watched that game.
Yeah.
They almost lost that game. Now, if they're not playing at Iowa, I think they lose that game. You know, there's no way that they were going to lose that game playing at home in Iowa. Last game, last home game, record-breaking. They need Caitlin Clark in the playoffs to keep, you know, this money rolling in. You know, so that she's going to get, you know, she's going to get them home, that home cooking, which, you know, rightfully so. That's just the way it is. But West Virginia, man, gave them everything that they could actually. I think they were exposed too. If you play them tough, man to man, up in their face, don't allow them, don't let Caitlin Clark have room and space to shoot those shots. Be in their face, be physical with them. You can beat them. They were exposed. West Virginia exposed them. So that would be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, let me bring in Will. And I know, Will, you might have been too young for this, but you see what Caitlin Clark is going to bring to the WNBA. I don't know if you remember Magic and Bird. I'm sure you kind of read about it and saw some clips. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I saw the 30 for 30, so I kind of have a little bit of a background on what was how it was looked at back then. I do think you can draw some similarities. I mean, you look at Caitlin Clark dominating the game the way she has, the interest she's gained nationwide. You can see it in the ratings and the ticket sales. So I think, I think that could be very good for the WNBA, you know, a league that needs viewership, you know, kind of being funded by the NBA right now. So I think the way to, you know, take the league to the next level is to have superstars, you know, players that people want to pay to see. So hopefully, you know, her, Angel Reese, whether this year or next year, and all of these women in the college game can take the WNBA to the next level.
Okay. I want to go to you, Tony. Did this change who you think is going to be the Final Four?
When I look at my bracket, Dave,
yeah.
The four teams that I picked in my bracket one, they're still in it. They're in the Sweet 16.
Okay. So and to answer that, you know, and I'm going to give you a chance to finish what you're saying, then also remind us again who you're taking to win it all. So go.
Okay. I'm taking UConn. I'm going to stick with UConn. And, you know, I'm you know, remember I said I filled out a couple of brackets. And,
yeah.
You kind of Houston in there. And I don't know, man, it's just something really strong in my gut about UConn. They're just different. They're just different, man. I don't know. I just see a different discipline with them. But Houston showed me something really special, man. UConn. So, I'm just going to have to play this thing out, man. And see what happens, but
right,
yeah.
So who's your Final Four again? So for the listeners,
UConn, Houston, Arizona, and Creighton was my bracket one, and they all are still in it.
Okay.
Yep.
So who got knocked out in bracket two for you, since you did more than one bracket?
Kentucky did. Kentucky got knocked out. I had them in winning the South region, but I had UConn, UNC, and Tennessee. So those three are still in it. And Kentucky, I was trying to get them that sleeper play, and they totally went to sleep.
Do we have Princess back on? She didn't make it back. Okay. All right.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah,
I was trying
Princess.
To get me off mute.
Yeah, Princess, we were talking, and hopefully you heard it. I wanted to kind of bring it up since you know, from a woman's viewpoint of, we're talking about the ratings and the ticket price and the Kate and Clark effect it might have on the ratings next year.
Well, I think you got to give that some validity because I hate to use this term, but I'm going to use it anyway. But I think that Caitlin Clark is the great white hope for women's basketball right now. And she has her own, you know, following. And she's gotten as big as ESPN has Holly Rowe there to every game. And I think it may take a little hit, but I don't know if it's going to be major because there's still some good players out there that are just freshmen. And Juju Watkins, I think, will carry that torch. Hannah Hidalgo, I think, will carry that torch too. So, and I'm not too sure that Angel Reese will come out. Whether she comes out or not, she's already stated that her NIL deals will exceed college. They are will carry on into the WNBA or regular life, as she says. But she still has eligibility. So she has one more year with LSU if she doesn't want it. But I do agree that the Caitlin Clark aura is there. And I think it's big because of her. And I think there's a lot of eyes on her in all of the records that she's broken. We can argue some of the, you know, there's others out there who've done it, but it wasn't considered in the NCAA at the time. But Caitlin Clark is a beast for marketing and for the college basketball and women. And to see it balloon to this and for them to play on Thursdays and Sundays and have major attraction and then, you know, see the men on Tuesdays and Saturdays, it's been a big deal. The ticket sales exceeded 1,000 per seat in South Carolina for North Carolina, South Carolina. I don't know if they got their money's worth with South Carolina having a 40-some point lead or win, but the ticket sales are definitely there. And still the Final Four tickets, the women are superseding the men in Final Four ticket sales.
Okay. All right. Princess, while I got you on, did your Final Four change and who you got winning it all for the men?
Duck, I didn't do like Tony. I didn't put Kentucky anywhere in getting to the Final Four or the Elite Eight. He's a believer in Calipari. But if I know his bio is $34 million, everybody else knows. So, you know, go ahead and do what you want with that. But I think I went chalk in that. I got UConn, I have Houston, I have Tennessee, and I have Arizona. Now, you know, and everybody said, okay, that was the easiest thing. But I think those are still the stronger teams that are in. Houston in a battle really did well. And with four of their starters on the benches, Tony, I heard him say that. So, but yeah, my Final Four is still intact. I didn't go off the rails much.
Okay. All right, Tim, talk to us, Tim.
Yeah, I think my Final Four is still kind of intact too. I had a couple of outliers as opposed, you know, to the number one seeding type situations. I had Arizona and Tennessee coming out of their region. But I also had Houston and UConn I believe I picked UConn to beat Houston in the championship game. So all of them are still alive. I'm expecting them to do what they need to do. The only one that I really doubt or have big concerns about is Tennessee if they run up against Purdue, just because of the big man. But they've got a 7-footer too. What's his name? Adu or something like that, who was a McDonald's All-American coming out of high school. I think they might make a run. Now, Houston's big man has an injury. Nobody's talking about that because Shedd is just a tremendous, tremendous leader on that team. I saw him do a dunk the other night over the whole team that was just crazy, and he's a guard. The only one I'm really concerned about is Tennessee. I think they may have a little bit of trouble if they have to face Purdue.
Okay. All right, now, Will, your thoughts, Will.
Yeah, my Final Four still alive. I kind of went safe this year and went with some of the higher seeds. So when I got UConn, Houston, Tennessee, and Arizona, I think the biggest threat, I mean, Houston, I think, has a tough matchup with Duke coming up. So, I mean, that may be a concern there. Iowa State's been playing great ever since the tournament. So I think, you know, that'll be a tough matchup for UConn should it come to that. I mean, Arizona and North Carolina, if they both prevail, that'll be a tough one there. But can't count out Clemson. They've been playing great basketball as well. And then Tennessee, you know, they have some tough teams left in their bracket with Creighton, Purdue, and Gonzaga. So still, we'll see how it plays out, but I'll still stick with the same four I had.
Okay. All right. Do you have a beef, or are you making us go, Will?
This week I'm going, I guess, with the men's tournament. I just think the first round, we didn't see the same significant number of upsets as we have in recent year number one. But two, the ACC, I think, you know, people kind of kicked them all year that they aren't the conference they used to be. They're a traditional powerhouse year after year. And then the tournament starts, and you have four teams from the ACC in the Sweet 16. It's the most represented conference. I mean, you had Virginia slip up early on, but outside of that, there's still a strong conference based on what we've seen in the tournament so far. So maybe, you know, when they do the selection committee, they pick the teams, that should be in consideration.
Okay. All right, Tim, you're beefing. I'm making this go,
I think my beef, I mentioned earlier, I feel so bad for these Samford kids and what happened to them when they were on the verge of beating Kansas in round one, just got an obviously terrible call on the block dunk. As I said, you know, these kids, they'll never be in a position to make up for that again. And many of them in their careers, most of those guys are not going to be in the NBA. And this was their one chance. And I felt like the officials took it away from them. And I'm with you, Duck. I wish there was some way that they could review those kinds of plays and get it right. It was just, that's my beef, is the officiating there and in the women's game last night, the West Virginia Iowa game was awful. I just wish there was more consistency in what they're doing.
Okay. Tony, beefing, I'm making us go,
Hey, I got a never had it so good blend of beef and I'm gonna start with my husband. Well, Kenny Brooks, the young black coach out of Virginia Tech, was hired by Kentucky to head up the women's basketball program. Now, is this hire to bring this brother in to women in Kentucky a thing to appease the fans and all the other collectives that are really upset that, you know, Kentucky is not going deep into the tournament? So I think it's just something that we can just go, about. to, you know, maybe save Calipari. And then my little that I have, my little beef that I have is the high majors that are complaining about automatic bids to go to the tournament by winning your conference. And I'm speaking on behalf of the mid-majors and the low majors, the smaller schools, because those automatic bids, when they win, they, you know, that's really the only really big significant chance they get to really get on the stage and really bring some revenue into their school. You know
right.
what I mean? So I'm speaking on behalf of those mid-majors and those little, smaller schools. The high majors, you guys are generating revenue all year long. You got TV contracts. You got every single thing that you need to just, you know, just hoist in all of this money for your schools. And those other smaller schools don't have that opportunity. So to try to get them to get thrown out or not have the opportunity through the automatic bid, I think is a travesty. And, you know, it's being really selfish. So that's my beef.
Hey, Doc.
Okay.
Hey, Doc. I listened to Tony, and I don't know if any of you all saw that movie, Oh Brother, We're Out There, where the candidate for governor was running, and he said he was the candidate for the little man, and he had that little 3-foot dude on the stage with him. Tony Coleman, the spokesman for the little man.
Right now, Chris, is you beefing or making us go?
I have a blend like Tony Coleman. I like that term. And mine is about Calipari. It's 15 years in now, won national championship. And when he came there, he said that he was going to develop those young men into NBA players and win championships. And he's not done that. And the past 3 years, he's bowed out twice in the first round. In the other round, he made the round of 32. So he bounced out in the second round. So I'm not sure the formula works. And his press conference led us to believe that, okay, so what are you going to do with me? You know, I can go home and sit down, and he can collect that $34 million, or I can come back and try to maybe see if I'm going to change the formula a little bit, as he says, I'll take another look at this. But all in all, I don't think Big Blue Nation is pleased with the results. I thought they expected more than they've gotten. And Kira Elzy, who was the head coach for the women's, you know, she just won the SEC championship 2 years ago. But then after that, it was 2 losing seasons, so she had to go. They had to make a big splash in order, as I agree with Tony, to kind of take the heat off of Calipari a little bit, you know, get that women's program going and focus on that maybe a little bit. But I think Calipari is on the hot seat. And I thought that was an embarrassing loss to Oakland. And right before that in the SEC tournament, they lose in the first round after getting a double bye. A failed season all in all, and I think he's had a lot of them.
Okay. All right, Princess. Take us home, Princess.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you. March Madness is here. Like you all, I'm excited about this weekend to see a lot of different matchups. I'm really excited. I want to see what Colorado does with Iowa, and I want to see what Tennessee does in this tournament too, and I want to see what Purdue can do if they go all the way, because I'm hearing some of the – what everybody else is saying is that he may not survive at the next level. But I appreciate you all, Will Harris, Tony Coleman, Tim Moore, Duck Riley. Have a great Tuesday, and we'll see you next time. A shout-out to Tori, who listened to both shows. Thank you, Tori. Anything else, Duck and Tim?
No, I'm good. Just enjoy the tournament.
Awesome, right. Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, have a great week.
Princess and Tim.
Shooting the breeze with Princess and Tim. Say hello to Legacy for me, Tori. Have a great week, everybody. Never Had It So Good, Sports Radio.